Whenever people say, we mustn't be sentimental, you can take it they are about to do something cruel. And if they add, we must be realistic, they mean they are going to make money out of it. Bridget Brophy. I used to assume that humans started off not caring about animals, then became gradually kinder over millennia. Not true. Our relationship with animals, or to be precise, with other animals, has flitted about like a bee on a lavender bush. We evolved alongside other animals. We started off being hunted by them before we turned into hunters. The earliest known cave paintings, found in Indonesia and dated to 40,000 years ago, are of pigs and buffaloes being hunted. Most of the paintings at Lascaux in France, which date from around 18,000 years ago, are also of animals, including a woolly rhinoceros. We did what no other animal species has done. We selectively bred other animals for food and companionship. Cows, pigs, sheep, and goats were all domesticated at least 8,000 years ago. Cats and dogs too, although they probably played a more proactive role in joining human society. So it's hardly surprising that many early human societies saw a continuity of spirit between humans and other animals. In some ways, their worldview aligns better with recent research into animal emotions and consciousness than ours does. They believed that humans and animals, and plants and inanimate objects, had souls and consciousness, and that animals even had separate human bodies. Some humans could temporarily transform into other animals. Some other animals had shamanic powers. In creation stories, humans were often seen as having descended from other animals, or as having been helped by them. The mythology of the Kayapó, an indigenous group who still live in the Brazilian Amazon, has held that a rat directed humans towards maize. This would inevitably make one feel differently about rats. Such beliefs didn't stop people killing animals. Far from it, these societies have relied on hunting. But in theory at least, they have also recognised a duty of respect and care. Similar perspectives can be found today among many indigenous peoples from Canada to the Kalahari. It is premised partly on the belief that not respecting the animals will bring direct negative consequences for humans. Strains of animist thinking filtered into Hindu and Buddhist thought and prepared the ground for the Western vegetarian movement. The ancient Egyptians buried mummified cats, dogs, crocodiles, and other animals alongside people. Some were loved pets, some were intended for food in the afterlife, some were offerings to the gods. This was no afterthought. Archaeologists estimate that up to 70 million animals were bred as offerings, requiring industrial-scale rearing. However affluent humans have become, we have not wanted to be apart from animals. This is strong evidence that we have evolved with a predilection for them, that genes that have predisposed us to want at least some animal's company have proved advantageous. Some ancient Greek thinkers, notably Pythagoras and Porphyry, embraced ethical vegetarianism, but they were marginal. For centuries, the established European view was that humans were fundamentally different from animals. This division became inextricably theological. In contrast to those cultures that saw animals as having enabled human existence, the Bible blamed a serpent for tempting Eve. It set down humans as separate from beasts and uniquely capable of salvation. Thomas Aquinas said that God had created animals for humans to use. In the 17th century, the French philosopher René Descartes assured readers that animals lacked souls. Their cries were just mechanical responses, like the striking of a clock. In the age before modern anesthetics, this was most helpful to biological researchers. In one French laboratory, the researchers administered beatings to dogs with perfect indifference, recalled a startled observer called Nicholas Fontaine. They nailed poor animals up on boards by their forepaws to vivisect them to see the circulation of the blood, which was a great subject of conversation. Some European philosophers claimed the danger to humans was not disrespecting other animals, but respecting them. Descartes argued that if people thought they had the same souls as brutes, they would believe that after this life, we have nothing to hope for or fear more than flies and ants. The Dutch philosopher Benedictus de Spinoza worried that if humans were friendly to animals, they would start thinking of themselves as animals, putting all civilization at risk. This being the 17th century, he blamed humans' growing softness for animals on womanly compassion. It was Adam and Eve part two, except this time Eve had been beguiled by a pet dog rather than a wild snake. In early modern England, even pretending to be another animal, for example by dressing up as one in a performance, was taboo. Humans needed to demonstrate their distinctive moral status. Descartes' attempt to dismiss other animals as soulless automata could not survive contact with science. He knew that humans and brutes had the same organs, although one of his English contemporaries, the writer Gervais Markham, reported not being able to find a horse brain, despite cutting into various skulls. Within 250 years, Darwin would show that humans and other animals not only had similar brains, but also common origins.